Steve, thanks. Hi, everybody. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder. We know that the game certainly lived up to expectations. Very exciting finish. But how did the commercials do? Dennis Ryan joins us right now, as he's done the last several years on the day after the Super Bowl, to discuss the ads that we all saw. Dennis is the CEO of Digital Kitchen and in studio with us right now. Hi, Dennis.
Hello, Bill.
Appreciate
Hello,
you being
Wendy.
Here.
Hello, Dennis.
Be honest, overall, we'll get into specifics in just a little bit. Was yesterday as good as we had hoped it would be, or was it a little bit of a disappointment?
Well, it's never as good as you hope it would be, because we start getting these outsized expectations. And of course, the biggest thing that makes you happy is surprise.
Yeah.
And the hardest thing to create anymore is surprise. So I thought it was every bit as good as past years, you know. But again, it's kind of a national kind of habit where we say every year, yeah, they weren't quite as good as last year. I mean, that's just expected these days.
Mm-hmm. It is expected that we say that, because we need to be wowed more and more for it to make as much difference as it used to.
Exactly. And especially, did you see all the movie ads? I mean, my God.
There were a bunch.
That pirate thing. And
yeah. Oh, that looks so good. Marvel and I have stuff. To tell you, there was a Budweiser commercial where a beer maker is immigrating here to America.
Yeah.
And it looked so much like a movie that my husband says, oh my God, they're showing the whole movie in this trailer. I said, Jim, it is a commercial.
Exactly. That is a brilliantly produced commercial. That's a great piece of filmmaking.
This is when Anheuser and Busch supposedly met for the first time. Right?
The alternative fact history
yes.
of Anheuser-Busch.
Right.
Yeah, it was.
Right.
But beautifully produced.
It was.
I just don't understand why they did the drawing of the bottle at the end. That was like, oh, you went and dropped the meat in the dirt.
Yeah,
up to
what
then,
was that?
I mean, it is a brilliantly done ad, and I like it very much.
Yeah.
That felt like the brand manager saying, yeah, but we don't have any branding. We need to see our product, because, you know, no one knows what Budweiser looks like.
Right.
Yeah, but I didn't know what it was till I saw the Budweiser bottle.
Well, that's true. That's no, that's a point, but did you really need to see the drawing of
no.
it? Would the label no. have worked, or just the name?
Yeah, you know? The name would have been sufficient.
Yeah, but it yeah. was a... can't take anything away from that production. It was breathtakingly good.
Is it easy to go back and see when Super Bowl Sunday became the night for the advertising world? Is there a specific year that that happened, or was it over a series of years?
No, absolutely, because no one had really treated it any differently. And again, remember, today, the idea of an aggregated audience of
yeah.
that size, 113 million was the estimate, is just unheard of. No one gets together at the same time to do this, watch the same show.
Right.
Back in 1984, when Chiat Day came out with the 1984 ad for Macintosh,
yeah.
that was truly the first, holy cow, this is an event. And
right.
it really, they played that brilliantly. And ever since then, other advertisers have followed their lead, and you've seen the production costs go up, and obviously the time costs go up.
But, like you just said, it's harder and harder to wow us. If that ad, if the 1984 ad for Macintosh were shown today, would people even pay any attention to it, do you think?
I think they would. And what's interesting is you're talking about broadcasting, and today I think it really does focus more on narrowcasting. Oh, you're interested in puppies? Okay, here's the whole world might not be, but the people who are really interested. And I think that's really what some of the broadcasters last night did a pretty good job. But others you could question maybe it's not the best venue for them.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Can I talk about the Christopher Walken Justin Timberlake commercial? It did its job, because now I want to try this buy water, whatever it is, a drink.
Yeah.
But at first, when I watched it, I love Christopher Walken, so I see it, and it's like, I'm going to love this. And then it didn't do much for me, and it's like, oh, that was okay. But now I found myself thinking about it today, and it's like, wow, that was really good. So it had like a delayed reaction.
Yeah, that I have felt the exact same way. And to be totally honest, I did not know the NSYNC song Bye Bye Bye, with which his lyrics he was quoting verbatim, which
I didn't really.
When you realize
first.
That, and then you watch it again, and
yeah.
you see Justin Timberlake's look at him, because you've got Justin Timberlake and he reads the voiceover, and other than that, sits still and looks dandy. It was very odd, but it's brilliant. And I totally agree. If you remember Bye, you remember the product. And that's simple but terrific advertising.
I'm going to try one today because yeah. of
just
that.
Because
I
of
really
ad.
Will.
I just might too.
Yeah. That means success.
Without a doubt.
All right. Now, on the flip side of that, let's go to here's an ad that everybody saw and quickly forgot. There was a Sinex ad about a guy watching the big game, and he had a big blue wig on, and their tag was, get your head back in the game, because his head stood out. If you're Sinex, are you proud of that? It seems like something that almost anybody could come up with. Why bother?
You know what? It is cold and flu season, so the context is right. And if you're sitting there stuffy-nosed, it might give you something. And to your point, it was that that silly color blue afro. I mean, we know the rainbow afro guy. We're not ready for the light blue aquamarine afro guy. And
right.
It was only 15 seconds that it did jump out for that very reason, too. It's like, that's interesting.
That's what they went with.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about the huge successes in your opinion and the big failures in your opinion. What's the one that as you watched you went, I've been in the game a long time. That's an ad right there.
Well, you know what? And all of them feel familiar in some way or another, but there's so many were really well done, I thought. I thought Melissa McCarthy, I mean, she had a heck of a weekend, didn't she?
It was did. Yeah.
Spicy.
Oh, my gosh. She was so brilliant. But I thought... And it fit her character perfectly. It fit the brand perfectly with this eco car. And when the whale throws her against the side of the Greenpeace ship see her body shape smudge on the side of the ship,
splat.
I'm like, that's a good detail. And she's so lovable.
When you're writing an ad like that, at what point do you have to guarantee that Melissa McCarthy will do it? Because if it was some other actress, it probably wouldn't have the same bite, would it?
You're absolutely correct. And what you saw last night, again, was the power of celebrity. I mean... John Malkovich, I mean, he's angry the whole ad. The one emotion that's very difficult to do in advertising is anger. It just comes across as no one wants to see it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's John Malkovich, and he pulls it off. It's Melissa McCarthy. She's screaming. She's panicked, and she pulls it off because she's so funny. So I think that's the power of celebrity. And to your point, Wendy, I mean, Christopher Walken, come on. It's a walk away.
I truly got freaked out by the Humpty Dumpty commercial, if I could just say that. That's
creepy, wasn't it?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
With the little yolk coming out.
Yeah, the bodily fluids reference was kind of harsh. Yeah, and I also didn't understand for an American tax company why everyone had a Cockney accent. That seemed a bit odd to me. But it was beautifully produced. It was, and you know, it was funny. It just seemed a little odd. You know, the match didn't quite happen.
There seemed to be, for me anyway, two running themes through many, many, many of the ads. Theme number one was inclusion. There was a lot of people from all parts of the world all showing that they can get along. You noticed that as well.
Yes.
Didn't you?
Yes.
And there was also the theme of the future is now. They showed you a lot of things that you say, wow, that's the Jetsons living that life. No, it's you because the future is now. Did you notice that?
Aren't graphic effects lovely?
Yeah.
Because you can make anything look just futuristic.
Yeah.
I mean, that Lexus ad was those were the shiniest cars I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
And it looked like they were basically power sliding through, I don't know, Vaseline or something. Everything was just like a sheen. It was crazy. And then I think the only place in America that's truly happy and black and white and old and young and gay and straight and everyone gets along are Google ads.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a world I want to live in. That just looked inclusive and happy and tolerant.
Yeah.
And other than that... Boy, were people screaming on social media last night. That was a wow.
Screaming always on the negative end or a little bit of both?
Oh, you get both. Of course you get both. I mean, Lady Gaga, I thought the amount of people who were just so thrilled with her performance. And it was...
She was awesome.
She was breathtaking. It was really fun.
Yeah.
Just a hill of... And it was so fun. It was just... And yet she had a good message in there to a certain crowd that I thought played beautifully and didn't raise a lot of protests, but
surprise.
Certainly some other ones did.
All right, yes. And can we talk about that?
Absolutely.
Should we take a quick break and talk about those? Because one, I didn't get. Two, I didn't get, but for different reasons.
Oh,
can
excellent.
We talk about that next?
Absolutely. That's coming your way in just a little bit. It's Bill F. It's Wendy Snyder, along with Dennis Ryan from Digital Kitchen on WGN.
All right. So we are talking to Dennis Ryan, CEO of Digital Kitchen. And I loved talking to you last year after the Super Bowl to talk about the Super Bowl commercials. We're so glad to have you in the studio. You had mentioned before the break about some political messages. Nothing too strong. One, I slipped right past me. We were talking about that briefly. It's a 10, hair care products. I noticed all the weird hairdos. What did I miss on that?
Well, actually, that was a great political statement that wasn't divisively political. Because the one thing everyone has to agree on is Donald Trump's hair is highly unusual. And so they said the one thing we can look forward to is 4 years of awful hair or something like that. And then they just showed a cavalcade of ridiculous hairstyles. And it was really just fun to watch. It felt good-natured. It didn't feel cruel or anything else. And I just thought of all the political statements, it was pretty smart for the venue.
That's pretty good. I didn't hear the open of it. I just saw the weird hair, so there was no connection.
All the open set it up beautifully. What's behind the scenes when a company makes a political statement, either broad or subtle? I counted four or five that kind of played off the fact that there's some dissension in the ranks in the country, and we should all work together. You saw that.
But again and again, you saw it.
Yeah.
I mean, and interestingly, even ones that didn't maybe start out political inevitably become political.
Yeah.
I mean, Budweiser rather famously has said that a whole, you know, you're not welcome here, or whatever line was given to the immigrant, Adolphus Bush, when he came to the country first. That was done months ago.
Yeah.
I mean, probably during, it was probably shot while Obama was president. And of course, these tensions existed, but it hadn't been brought to the just the apex of tension it is now. And so suddenly it's laden with all this more importance or all this more attention than it would have otherwise gotten. But then you have other people. I mean, anytime you're talking politics and advertising, you've got very big anxiety.
Sure.
It's not a smart move, is it?
It's rarely a smart move, although, you know, think of Audi. Audi did that. They talked about gender gap and the father thinking about his daughter.
Yeah.
And she's going to, can she get paid? She won't be valued as much as her mother won't be valued as much as her father, and the gender pay gap. It's actually a very interesting movement that you're seeing more and more of in advertising. This notion of what's your purpose. And if I align my values align with this company's values, that's great. And if Audi is truly committed to gender equality pay, that's a story that's going to resonate with, again, probably a narrower audience, mm-hmm. but it'll resonate very powerfully. Our whole Seattle office is dedicated to that practice. What's your purpose, and how do we align your purpose with the market to get that kind of brand loyalty that's very difficult to get anymore? I thought it was actually really a smart ad.
What'd you think of 84 Lumber? Now, there's two separate ads there. There's the TV version, the short version that you saw, and then I went to their website, which I apparently crashed during the Super Bowl. I saw it afterwards. Talk about what went on with 84 Lumber last night.
Well, that was a very interesting one, particularly given the fact that the president or CEO of 84 Lumber said, I voted for Trump and everything else, and it was all about the wall. What was it was really unfortunate that that their website crashed.
Yeah.
It took a long time to be able to see that spot. In fact, I ended up seeing it on other places rather than their original website. I checked it 3 or 4 times. A friend of mine actually produced that. He's from Chicago, a guy named John Noble. He's got a company. They work together in this thing. It's a brilliantly shot piece of film. It's almost 6 minutes long.
It is,
I mean, it was never really going to be on television. I have a feeling a lot of this was drummed up for intentional discussion.
Yeah.
I think it creates a very valuable discussion. There's no doubt they've got a very large Hispanic audience, and that's going to play as a welcome addition. Hi, we're part of the national conversation. Our hopes and dreams matter. I mean, that's a very important thing. And when you think of how many 84 lumber yards probably have day laborers standing outside, there's all kinds of issues surrounding that. And everyone in the country is talking about 84 lumber today.
Yeah.
And it's all about working hard. It was a really, I thought that was a very interesting, far and away the most aggressive political ad I've ever seen in Super Bowl.
But that could be taken both ways.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, are they for the wall?
Absolutely.
Because they're a lumber company, or are they saying we shouldn't have the wall because look at all the walls that are up already?
Right. And but what they did and the position they're taking is fair immigration is still legal. Legal immigration is still a legal thing. And if you come in correctly, if you come in through the door and you're willing to work hard, we have a future here for you. It's a country of immigrants. So I think they're kind of having it both ways, but I know the way the discussion's gotten, it hasn't gotten, compare that to the women from Hamilton who sang the national anthem and added brotherhood and sisterhood.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that turned into such a hate-filled powder keg, and you're sitting there going, really?
I mean,
over
really?
That. That's what we're arguing about?
Yeah.
I thought it was cool.
Yeah.
It was.
Well, that's because you're one of those women.
I know.
How weird.
Although my husband did go, what?
Yeah.
And I said, yeah, it's awesome.
When was the last time you said what during the national anthem? I actually paid attention. It's a good thing.
Wendy and I had the same favorite ad.
I cried during it, if I can just tell you that. Being a mom, I want my kids to do whatever they can and be whomever they can. So to see the talking yearbooks and to do what you love, that was inspiring. And it was for Honda, and I remembered.
See, that's great. I think that execution I thought was tremendous. I particularly liked all the comedians because they were able to make, I mean, Steve Carell's comment to
the guy
neighbor Daryl.
Yeah, that was funny. Great.
But
very
I mean,
funny.
Jimmy Kimmel. Jimmy Kimmel and Tina Fey, they were all, and everyone was good. I mean, I thought they really stayed in character. I thought they did a terrific job. Magic Johnson, Robert Redford, you know, Missy Elliott. It was all great. It was a weird tie to following your dreams to get to the CRV.
Right.
But I agree with you. I thought I felt good about Honda for doing it. Wasn't exactly sure what I was supposed to buy, but I thought it was a good ad. I really liked it.
Dennis, I'm sitting there and I'm saying to myself, these ads are great, but isn't Morgan Freeman going to narrate something? And then thanks to Turkish Air, he did.
There you go. There you go. And he appeared in multiple seats in multiple cabins.
Yeah, he can do that. He's Morgan Freeman.
It was a beautiful ad. I don't know the next time I'm going to use Turkish Airlines, but I'm certainly not counter to it now.
Right.
I thought that was good.
Right. But he, and you know, we've mentioned a couple of other people like this, Christopher Walken, he makes you, if you're just slouching, just kind of laying there watching the game, you sit up a little straighter and you say, oh, it's Morgan Freeman or Christopher Walken. They have star power.
Absolutely. And one of the things we used to have to work on in Anheuser-Busch was, can this play without the sound on? Which is a very difficult thing to do because in so many parties, it's loud. Now, there used to be that tradition of getting quieter during the commercial break. Now that you can watch the commercials again later on YouTube or frankly,
or
earlier.
Before, yeah.
Or before, yeah. I'd say one of them had over 10 million views before, the Jason Statham one for Wix.
Really?
Had over 10 million views. They really pounded that on social media. But yeah, so trying to get that kind of thing across when it's subtle.
All right, I have a commercial that is my second favorite, and it really would work with the sound off. The Skittles commercial was awesome because it's a guy trying to get the girl's attention, and then you see, okay, it's the girl, it's the mom, it's the dad, it's the grandma, it's the thief, mm-hmm. and then it's the cop getting the thief. That was...
And then
that,
an animal.
Oh,
there was some weird animal.
Some groundhog or something
was
crazy.
Was that a groundhog?
I don't know. It felt
that made me want to honestly go right to Walgreens and get Skittles.
Well, see, now that's how a candy ad should work. That's fantastic. What's interesting about that spot in Digital Kitchen, we do a lot of computer graphics, and I'm sitting there going, are those CGI Skittles? Because everyone catches one.
Yeah.
That's one take.
Right.
It's one take. The camera never breaks, so... All those people scooching down the couch, then catch it in their mouth, even the puppet at the end. So
yeah.
that's my – I have to find out if that's true or not. But it's that one's actually been running for a month or two anyway.
And I loved it.
They didn't hold it for the Super Bowl, which is interesting.
And I also just quickly want to bring up, I thought the Tide ad with Terry Bradshaw was extremely ambitious. And the beauty of it is it did a callback at the very end of the game with Jeffrey Tambor, who appears earlier – really well thought out all the way through.
Those, and I'm not even sure that was thought out. I have a feeling. When you get Jeffrey Tambor, I worked with Terry Bradshaw.
Yeah.
And the first couple of times, it was a car wreck. It was terrible. Terry can only do one thing, and that's shout. He shouts. And once you realize that and write for that, there's a writer in the city, a guy named Kenneth Sneary, who figured him out for Supercuts. And it was really funny.
Yeah.
Once you figure out that Terry's going to shout. So he did a great job then putting him counter to that kind of intellectual character Jeffrey Tambor was, which was, I found that the funniest thing in the world. I thought the whole, you know, why he's driving a golf cart down a highway kind of confused me.
Yeah.
But but I think they just had so much good film. They went, well, we could come
Let's
back
run
and
with
see
it.
That. We used to do that all the time because you shoot multiple endings to spots.
Sure.
Then you're like, well, these both work if we give it enough time. And
why
people
not?
Enjoy it. Exactly.
Why not? It's Dennis Ryan, everybody. He's the CEO of Digital Kitchen. If people want to know more, the best website for Digital Kitchen would be?
That would be our website.
Go to your website.
That's the one I'd push.
Don't go anywhere
this else. Is DK.com.
This is DK.com is the answer. Dennis, great to see you. Thanks for
great
being by.
Great to see you, Bill. Thanks, Wendy.
Thanks,
good to see you.
A little bit of a break, then some news, then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.